Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is November 25th, 2022. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. So I'm going to take you guys with me on a little coffee chat this morning. I know it's been a long time since I've done one, and I put out a post yesterday on Telegram and on Truth Social letting everybody know that I understand that people are missing my commentary, and it really is so incredible to hear that from folks. And it's not as if I had planned on just doing strictly interviews. It's just that November became one of those months where all of a sudden, I mean, what I'm really used to, folks, is that when I reach out to these individuals that end up coming on my show, normally they're not as easily accessible for me. Normally they're a lot more busy. I have to plan sometimes a month in advance. And it just so happened in November that a lot of people happened to be available and my schedule filled up. And for the first time, I didn't really have time, honestly, to put together my own material. So I just want to kind of provide a little explanation for the audience and let everyone know that it's not as if I'm trying to avoid doing this. In fact, this is what drives me. This is really my passion, as everybody knows. So it feels good to be rolling around in my vehicle, drinking my coffee, gun by my side, and just feeling the essence of what it means to be free. And I really do believe, folks, that we are in an incredible time. I know you hear insiders and influencers say this all the time. For a lot of people, maybe they get tired of hearing it, but I honestly never get tired of talking about this epic moment that we're living through. And I know that it's frustrating. And believe me, in the aftermath of the midterms, and I've talked about this a little bit, but again, I've been doing so many interviews that I haven't really fully expressed, I guess, my take on where we are right now. So I guess I'll attempt to do that this morning. But, you know, in the wake of the midterms, I experienced a great amount of disappointment, a great amount of frustration, a great amount of disillusion, if I'm being honest. Okay. I just have to be honest with the audience. You know, there's always that instinct, that part of you that wants to not admit when you've been wrong about something. But the truth of the matter is that I was wrong about the midterms. I actually believed, well, I guess in some ways I was right about how I thought they would transpire once I came to acknowledge that they would actually go forward. But before that, all of you know, I was predicting and talking about some major interruption that was going to happen, that was going to prevent the midterms from moving forward. It was going to derail them, going to delay them. And of course, I spent many podcasts talking about these different scenarios. And I have to tell you, I mean, we all have our perspective in this war. And I know the perspective of both the listener and the podcaster now, whereas before I didn't know that. And folks, honestly, when events that you think are going to happen don't happen, and you've been talking about them with your audience, and you've been fairly confident in your assessment, and then it turns out to not be the case, that's enormously frustrating for me. It's frustrating for all of us, just on an individual level, but I think when you're communicating something to your audience, and you're giving people a sense of hope about what's going to happen, even though I'm very clear about the fact that I don't really know what's going to happen, that I'm always speculating. I mean, I've said six ways from Sunday in different ways that I'm not an insider. I'm not anybody who's got some sort of a background or back channel connections with people. I don't know any more than you do. I just analyze everything that's out there. And I do the very best I can to try to come up with an assessment that resonates with me, that hopefully resonates with you as well. And that's typically the case. But nevertheless, I'm not always right about things. And so it's very frustrating to be in a position where you have to talk about things, you have to provide an analysis of things, and yet knowing that it's not always going to be right. So after the midterms happened, I was very disappointed, right alongside all of you. And it wasn't until I started to listen to some of the breakdowns and some of the analysis and went back to the speech myself and put two and two together and realized that I was placing my expectations on something that was basically unrealistic. In the same way that I don't really believe, even you go back to 2020, and I've talked about this with my guests, and I've also told people what I think. You go back to the inauguration of 2020, we all wanted the Marines and believed that the Marines were going to storm in there and arrest everybody on live TV, even though at the time, I mean, well, we found out after it really wasn't live, but we thought at the time it was. And that didn't happen. And of course, after that, we came to the realization, really, to acknowledge that, of course, they weren't going to make some sort of a major move like that and telegraph it. So why would they telegraph any moves? Why would they give us some sort of a reason to expect that Trump was going to make a major announcement that was going to actually be what we hope and pray it was? Why would they telegraph it now? It's this strange paradox where you have these expectations, and yet at the same time, you expect that you're going to be disappointed. At least that's the way it is for me. But like I was saying to Derek, you can't help but sink your teeth into it because it's just this big, juicy justice burger that you want to take a bite out of because this is what we've been fighting for so many years in many cases. I know that there are new listeners to my channel as well. And you know, sometimes I forget that there are people still waking up. I guess in a lot of ways, I kind of abandoned, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't have, but you know, in my own life, I kind of abandoned trying to wake people up a while ago. In fact, I think this podcast was in part the end result of that decision. Like I realized there was nothing left for me in my own personal life in terms of trying to wake people up. I was fully convinced that if you hadn't woken up by the time that I started my podcast, that you weren't going to wake up. And I have to tell you, I mean, hey, yesterday I went to Thanksgiving. I spent time with my family and I wish I could report that things have changed. I wish I could tell you that the nature of the conversation was different. I mean, the one thing I can say is that the same people in my family who are normally, you know, really outspoken against Trump or, you know, outspoken against the Republicans and, you know, the people who are still trapped in the old paradigm, who don't understand their, you know, they don't even understand their own ignorance. The one thing I can sense is that there is less of a confidence. Of course, it was always a false confidence, but there's not so much of that anymore. There's not so much of that arrogance. There's not so much of this I know it all attitude. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. These quote unquote liberals who think that they have it all figured out, or, you know, even the people in your life who aren't that political, who are asleep. I mean, there's all different types of people. People are all over the map, but the individuals that I'm referring to are the ones who are really tend to be the most obnoxious and honestly the ones who've driven me the most crazy over the years. They're not so loud anymore. So that has to indicate something has changed within them. And yet, at least at my Thanksgiving dinner table, maybe it was different at yours, the nature of the conversation still hadn't really changed. And here we are, 2 years later. And so in some ways, I could look at that and say, well, that kind of reinforces the fact that I was right. These people aren't going to wake up 2 years later, almost. I mean, it hasn't been 2 years yet since I started my journey on this podcasting adventure, but here we are. And the same people are refusing to wake up. They're refusing to see the writing on the wall. They're still listening to the mainstream media. I'm sure that now that they're trying to stir up all of these new lockdowns. We just saw that China is initiating a new series of lockdowns. Could that be for operational security? Absolutely, it could be. But that's, you know, in a sense, a conversation for another day. The point is that they're gearing up for these all over again. And you got to wonder, I mean, how much of this can people take? And a couple of years ago, I thought, if you had asked me the question, if you had said to me at that point in time, you think that people could actually go through the better part of 2 years of this and still be compliant, still not be asking questions, so on and so forth. I mean, I guess I would have been a little bit more apt to say probably not. And maybe, I mean, I don't know, folks. I guess it really depends upon the individuals that you're talking about, the circumstances. Certainly people all over the world have risen up in a lot of ways, but yet it's hard to deny, especially after Trump's speech. I mean, we've been speculating about how much of the world is actually awake, how many people actually know what's going on. And yes, all the statistics seem to indicate that people are starting to wake up. They're starting to abandon the false information of the mainstream media. And yet, like I've said before, I mean, the way that it plays out in day-to-day life, generally speaking, I'm certainly not in my own personal life, and I'm not hearing as many stories as I had hoped to by this point of people just finally getting it, finally waking up. And like I've said, I mean, it's been a while since I've said it, but I can certainly remember talking about this very issue and saying that we wouldn't be in this position if the vast majority of people out there actually knew what was going on. The minute that happens, the minute the public consciousness really awakens to what's actually reality, the world changes instantly. That doesn't mean that everything gets fixed in an instant, but the world changes the very moment we have that critical mass of consciousness, because we've come to learn that's really what it's all about. Consciousness is what shapes our reality, the collective consciousness of humanity, that we're all interconnected. We have powers beyond our abilities to even comprehend, because we're trapped inside this lower dimensional existence, this false matrix. And all we have to do collectively is just discover that that's this trap that's been foisted on us by the enemy. And it's like Gulliver and Gulliver's Travels. All we have to do is just stand up, and the Lilliputians go flying in every direction, and they run and hide, and the jig is up. That's all that needs to really happen. And yes, I understand that that's, in a sense, an oversimplification, because there's a number of different threats. Don't get me wrong. But the minute we have that critical mass, everything changes. And when Trump came out and gave his speech, he made it very clear that not enough people know what's going on. And honestly, folks, we could talk about the comms all day long. And I fully admit, you know, I'm not a technical anon, in the sense that I sit there and I decode all of these messages. And I mean, folks know that's really not my forte. I listen to all those things, and that's a part of the intel that I analyze and present to you. But that's not something that's not really my area, excuse me, of expertise. So for me, you know, I always look at things in a sense. My brain tends to look at the big picture and try to figure out where it's all going based upon all the different moving pieces. But certain things stand out to me. And for me, in Trump's speech, that was the thing that stood out the most. After I had a chance to go back, or actually I should say after I gave myself the chance to go back and to listen to it again and to reconsider what he was conveying, encoded message, because I've said many times, I mean, if you want to understand Donald Trump, you better learn how to read his comms, because that's exactly how he communicates. I mean, he is an absolute master. It blows my mind because he even can fool me at this point. You know, it's like I was watching him give that speech and I was thinking to myself, what is going on? Why is he so flat? Where is his energy? Where is his enthusiasm? He was saying that this is going to be the most important moment in the history of the United States. And he's coming across like, you know, he's half asleep. I mean, and yet there's no denying that everything that all of the great anons out there have pointed out, it's all there. All of these comms are there. But again, it's about that expectation that gets the best of all of us at certain points, I think. I mean, I don't think there's anyone out there in my audience. Maybe I'm sure probably there are some people, but at least the folks that I communicate with, I mean, we all felt the same sense of disappointment and letdown. And in some ways, frustration with Trump because, you know, in that moment, we were looking at it on the surface level because that's where this expectation had been dangled at us. But what did he really communicate to all of us amidst all of the other elements? To me, the most important is that we're not there yet in terms of consciousness. We're not there. We don't have that critical mass. And I understand that for some people, you know, they hear me talk about this and they just get really frustrated and angry and say, you know what, the hell with these people. If they don't get it by now, they're not going to get it. And listen, I understand. There's a part of me, folks, that wants to jump fully into that bandwagon and just say, you know what, you're right. The hell with these people. Full steam ahead, right? There is that emotional part of me that just wants to get this party started, if you will. That's probably not the best way to phrase it, but wants to just stop this anticipation that we've all been bathing in now for such a long time. Expectation and all of the disappointment. We're just so sick and tired of the cycle. And I understand. And that's why it's so easy to get us geared up for some major announcement, some major event, especially after the letdown of the midterms. Because let's not forget, a lot of us were, I mean, I technically was not correct in my assessment of what was going to happen in the midterms. I guess I got some things right, but I just didn't really think that it was going to be a full-on red wave, that we were just going to completely take over Congress. And yet, we did make some major inroads. And we now have this Republican-led investigation into Joe Biden. And they're talking about human trafficking. They put that term, when you want to talk about the collective consciousness, they put that term right on the front burner. They put it in a place where the mainstream media even can't ignore it. And of course, they are, to a certain extent, they're ignoring it. They're going to ignore it as much as they can and for as long and as often as they can. But at a certain point, they can't ignore these things anymore. And so people are going to be forced to see the truth. People are going to be forced to have this conversation. And that ultimately, I think, is where we're headed. I believe that the White Hats, who knows, folks, whether the extent to which this is scripted out, in other words, in terms of the timeline and knowing when they're going to make their move, let's just say, to oversimplify it, okay? The extent to which this is a movie versus a fluid operation, I don't think any of us have the ability to truly answer that question. And as I was hinting earlier, I mean, obviously it's my instinct to want to believe that it's all scripted out, that the white hats are in complete control. I mean, at one point in time, I was persuaded, and that really the only thing that we were waiting on was the alliance to continue to clear out the dumbs, and yes, in the process, continue to wake people up. But gradually, as time has gone on, it's not as if I've abandoned that idea. It's just that that idea has evolved. And I've realized that there's got to be a reason here that we are being told certain things. There's got to be a reason that the public consciousness is being toyed with, in a sense. I understand there's lots of different reasons. There's tactical considerations. There's disinformation. There's fog of war. There's lots of different explanations for it. But the point is that the longer this goes on, the more evident it is to me that we're dealing with a much bigger challenge than I wanted to initially believe. And it's somewhat frustrating because, you know, at this stage of the game, it's hard to know. Is there going to be some sort of a major announcement coming out of the Supreme Court? Because that's now starting to be back in the news. Gateway Pundit just put out an article, I think it was yesterday, talking about this notion that the 2020 election, who knows, may have already been ruled on behind the scenes, or maybe they're going to make a ruling on it. I mean, the truth is that we have no idea of knowing at this stage how long we're going to be waiting for this climactic moment. There's just no way to know. And for people out there, it's very frustrating. But yet, we also understand, and there's no getting away from this reality. Like I was talking to SG about the other night. I mean, look, I don't apologize about exploring and talking about and verbalizing the emotions of what the American people, and indeed, I think probably people all around the world are feeling. In some ways, because I'm not an insider, in some ways, because I don't have intel and that's exclusive to me, or people, you know, feeding me information, it's kind of led me to the belief that that's part of what I've been called to do, is to be a voice for we the people, to talk about the things that a lot of other people out there don't want to talk about. And I don't make any apologies for expressing how all of us are feeling. But I also am very clear about where I stand and where I think we're going. And that hasn't changed. So I mean, personally, I feel like I can talk about both things. We can talk about both sides of the coin, and we have to. We have to. Because that's what's going to keep us sane throughout this process. But like I was talking to SG about the other night, I mean, he's absolutely correct that wars are not timeline driven in a sense. They're not just a simple matter of connecting dots that are already predetermined. That it's, you know, he talks about all the time, this is a very fluid operation. He's made his position very clear. And you really don't hear him talking much about, you know, a pantomime or a movie. He's made it very clear that, and I agree, events are what drive wars, not timelines. And in a lot of ways, we have this mindset, we have this timeline mindset that we're, I think, trying to overcome, because this has been going on for a long time. And the longer you know the truth, in a lot of ways, I think the harder it is, the heavier the burden is, the longer it goes on. And I certainly am not someone who just woke up yesterday. I've told people before, I woke up roughly about 10 years ago now. But there are people out there, I mean, there are people in my audience, there are people on the round table, like Soaring Dove, who have been awake for 30 plus years. And the longer you're awake, the longer you're in possession of the truth in a false world, the heavier that burden can be. The good news is that we don't have to shoulder that burden alone anymore. That God saw fit to bring us all together for this moment. And we don't know how long this moment is going to be. But one thing I can assure you is that what we've gone through in the grand scheme of things is just a speck in time. And yet every single day sometimes can feel like another day in prison. Because really, that's what this matrix is. Once you figure it out, you don't have to have all the information. I mean, I sure as heck don't. I'm a student right alongside the rest of you guys. But once you understand the paradigm, once you realize that you're a prisoner, you're living on a prison planet, in some ways, that's how you feel every single day. You wake up and you feel like you're a slave, you're a captive. And yet you also recognize that you're going through this incredible shift, this incredible change is happening. It's been happening. This ascension process is here. History is happening. And like I've said, you've got a foot in two different worlds. You've got your consciousness, and then you've got your 3D existence. But you know, and you can sense that shift is happening. We all feel it. We all know it. The best of times and worst of times in a lot of ways. But yet, at the end of the day, we all know where this is headed. We all know that this is really God's plan. And it always has been. And whenever he decides that he's going to move his hand and he's going to show his hand to humanity, because I still believe that once this climactic moment happens, we are going to witness the hand of God. We are going to see miraculous things that none of us are even talking about. And it, in some ways, kind of connects to what I was saying before about never really divulging the details of an operation. I mean, you think that God is going to reveal to man when he's going to move on our behalf? Certainly not. But I do believe that it's going to be biblical. In fact, I think even though many of us haven't really recognized it yet fully, I think we're already living through biblical times. I think that what we're doing right now is biblical, if you really want the truth, because we are the plan. We're setting the stage for this epic event that's going to transform the consciousness of humanity. And yes, it's going to require the hand of God. Now, I do believe that God works through people, as I've said, to make manifest his will. And I do believe that that is what the white hats are doing. That's how they're functioning. And I wish I could tell you whether I knew, if they even knew, when that moment is going to be. It's all a mystery. And it's sometimes hard to analyze a mystery because there are questions that are going to be forever unanswerable. Or at least for a long period of time, we're probably not going to know all the details of what went down behind the scenes, certainly. But I'll tell you something, folks. After the midterms and after Trump's speech, and I did go through a period where in some ways it kind of felt similar to how I felt after our last election cycle, I mean, in a very different set of circumstances, I suppose, with a different understanding, a more evolved understanding than I had back then. But still in all, I experienced that same level of kind of letdown. And all I have to tell you is that my perspective has not changed overall. And I do believe that we are going to see some major transformative events in the very near future. I have to continue to be honest about how I feel. And what I see in the future is the same as what I saw before the midterm. It's just that, once again, these timelines that we're trying to apply to a scenario that is fluid. You know, this is, I think, where my real growth and my change in understanding is happening. And that's the essence of it, is trying to abandon this notion of how long this is going to take. And it's almost impossible. It feels like it's almost impossible to do because, you know, there's just constantly dates that get dangled. There's constantly things that we're hoping and praying, and this is going to be the moment. That's going to be the moment. Is it going to be now? Is it going to be later? Is it going to be 6 months from now? I mean, a very short time ago, when I even mentioned 2023, people were up in arms. A lot of folks out there. And I understand a lot of people are saying, I don't want to hear about 2023. And I mean, the truth is, if we go farther back, I mean, you know, going back to the beginning of 2022, most of us didn't think that there would be any way that we would get through this year without seeing the military come out of the shadows. And you know something? I have to say this too. One of the things that I was saying before the midterms, one of the elements of my analysis or my assessment, if you will, was that I didn't think that this country could sustain another stolen election. I didn't really believe that, you know, we saw what we saw in 2020 go down in the midterms. And I know it was a different set of circumstances, but obviously we know that there was election fraud. I thought that it would just be a tinderbox. It would be way too dangerous, and the White Hats would have to step in because there would just be this threat of civil war. I mean, Bill Gates was even talking about that. And yet, it seems as if, I mean, obviously, we're all upset about what happened, but it seems as if, in terms of the status quo that the establishment seems to still set, that the world is just continuing to go about its business. Or the country, I should say. People aren't quite as up in arms as I thought they were going to be. And I don't mean literally. But, you know, it doesn't seem like that assessment was correct. And then I take that and I consider that with what Trump had to say in his speech and about people just not knowing what's going on yet. There's not enough people. It just, once again, it kind of reinforces this idea. You know, we want to believe that people are waking up, and we want to believe that the mass consciousness is really shifting in the right direction. And I still think it is. But the flip side of that coin is that without some sort of major shock event, an event to traumatize anyone or punish anyone, but to get people's attention, to get everyone on the same page, I still think that we're going to be faced with the same circumstances. I mean, as long as you've got the mainstream media spouting out lies, as long as you've got that infrastructure in place, then the MK Ultra conditioning is going to hold. And yes, within a lot of people it is breaking, but I still maintain that we need to pierce through that hardened shell that people have around them. They just will not allow a different narrative to come in question everything that they've been told. And we really do need people to be on the same page. So how are we going to really get there? Well, we're going to have a major scare event, or like Juan talks about, a near-death experience. And the thing of it is, I think for a lot of us, we feel like we're in a near-death experience right now. And that's really our perspective on this thing. It's like, okay, we're having a near-death experience, but we don't really think about the entire picture in terms of what other people are thinking right now and where their minds are and where their consciousness is at. They're just going about their business. Yes, they're upset about certain things. I think they can feel at some level that something's not right. But there hasn't been that critical mass. We just don't have it yet. And that's, I think, really frustrating. And it also just extends what we've already been going through. It extends all of that frustration yet again. And we just feel sometimes, I think, like we're, you know, we just don't understand what it's going to take for people to actually wake up. And I do believe, folks, we're going to have to experience something that's big enough to shatter the arrogance that people are still living in. It's just going to have to happen. And I thought it was going to be before the midterms. Okay, so it wasn't before the midterms. When's it going to be? And I mean, people are saying, are we going to have to wait till 2024 now? Look, I don't know. I really don't. I'm just going to be honest with people. We've heard about, I mean, the New York Times has even put out that we're going to see military tribunals in 2023, by the summer of 2023. But again, there's been a lot of these types of, I'll just say, dates, events, you know, things, predictions. And what I'm trying to do, I guess, at this point, at this stage of the game, is I'm trying to, yes, that stuff is still going to be part of my analysis. It's unavoidable, but I'm trying as best I can to stay focused on the overall picture and not really get caught up in talking about, well, this is going to happen by, you know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this scenario, that scenario, because I just don't really, I'm not really sure at this stage of the game that that's productive. You know, maybe it's counterproductive to talk about all of these and speculate about all of these future events. I mean, in some ways, it has to happen because of the disinformation, the fog of war, but you know, I don't know, folks. I go through waves on this journey. You know, sometimes I feel like it's best to just stop trying to figure out the sequence of events. You know, stop trying to crack the code about when things are going to happen and just allow this to play out on God's timeline. I mean, on certain days, that's where my head is at. And yet, I can't help. When I listen, because I'm a listener as well, I listen to all these podcasts and insiders, I can't help but speculate about how things are going to be, how they're going to go down. And honestly, I think the beauty of it is that we can all agree that as long as we have each other, and as long as we have this digital family that's continuing to grow, and as long as we stay committed to what brought us here to begin with. And I'll tell you, I mean, I know I've referenced it a couple times, but the video that I reposted on my Telegram, it was the first one. I was actually curious because, I don't know, I was just kind of having reflective moment, nostalgic in a way. And I went back and I was curious, because I just actually crossed over to 10,000 subscribers on my Telegram channel, which is amazing. Thank you for that. But, you know, as I was getting closer to this milestone, I was curious, you know, what was the first thing that I posted? And I went back and I found that video. And it was all about the children. And I talked about it with Jessie when she was on the show. And it really did bring me back. It grounded me. And it made me realize, I mean, all of these different events, all of these scenarios, speculations, I'm not going to sit here and make a pledge to you that I'm not going to do. I mean, of course, I'm still going to do my situation analysis. I'm still going to try to figure it all out. But I'm kind of in a place right now where I'm trying to, in a sense, readjust, because I think for me, something changed after the midterms and after, you know, they actually did go forward and, you know, they didn't pan out the way that I expected, or I think probably a lot of us expected. You know, I had to kind of go back to my roots. I mean, I found that video, and I do believe that God wanted me to go back and revisit that and just watch and absorb and remember what it was that inspired me to do this in the first place. And yes, there are a lot of different reasons. I've talked about them all. But I don't think there was anything bigger and more important and more decisive, in a sense, in terms of me making that decision to move forward despite my own fears, despite my own anxiety, my own insecurity of not knowing how it was going to be received. I mean, in the beginning, I didn't really have any expectation other than hopefully, you know, maybe 100 people. I had no idea it was going to turn into this. And yeah, along the way, you know, I've gone through my own personal ups and downs, and, you know, I've made mistakes. I'm continuing to learn. But the reason that I got involved, what really stirred my passion, and what really just fed this fire inside of me for justice, was when I learned about what was going on with the children. That's what it's always been about for me. And yeah, the fact that I couldn't talk to anybody about that, the fact that nobody believed me, the fact that everybody thought that I was crazy in my own life, and I had no vehicle to express. Yes, that was what inspired me to do this in the beginning. And that's something that there is no timeline. And I think that's really the message that the Lord was giving me is, this is going to take however long it's going to take. We're never going to know how it's going to end, what the resolution is going to be, what the big climactic moment is. But what brought us here, what we're fighting for. Because you don't go to war, at least as far as I'm concerned, you don't go to war unless you have a moral justification and a reason. And Lord knows we've got many, but none are bigger than the protection of our innocence and seeking justice and acknowledgement from the world about what these monsters have perpetrated on us. And yes, it still haunts me to this day that, you know, I want to believe that the white hats have largely eradicated this evil. But it's like I was saying before, you know, my perspective on that has shifted, has changed. And, you know, that's one of the other unanswerable questions. We just don't know what are the key reasons, because I could sit here all day long and I could talk about my, you know, different ideas about why the delay. But maybe it's not a question of the delay. I mean, maybe that's the fault in my thinking, me thinking that the white hats are delaying, when it could be that they're just continuing to fight and battle behind the scenes and carry out these operations to save the children. And of course, to save all of us in the process. Because this is a worldwide genocidal plot to enslave and kill all of us. And at one point in time, I thought that the cabal was, you know, a couple million, maybe three. But the longer this goes on, the bigger those numbers become. And you know, I have to realize, or at least acknowledge the possibility, that the white hats are actually smoking all of these people out, that they didn't necessarily know who all these people are and where all these weapons are and who all these assets are. And so it's not a question of them delaying. It's just a question of we are living through a war. It's a silent war, a quiet war that will not remain that way. It can only remain that way for so long. But indeed, that's what we're engaged in. But you know, what gives me hope, and I have to tell people, the more my expectations aren't met, the more I go through disappointment, the more I feel that rage and that frustration and that anger, the stronger my resolve becomes. And I don't know if it's the same for everybody, because, you know, when I read my, you know, comments and things like that, and people say I'm done and throwing up their hands, and that could just be a moment of frustration. Maybe you feel the same way I do, but the more we engage in this fight, because that's what this is. We are in a battle. We are in a war. A multidimensional, psychological, unprecedented war. The stronger we all become, the deeper we all become, the more full human beings we all become. And I happen to believe that God makes no mistakes. And I do think that you would agree with me on that. And if God doesn't make any mistakes, and this is his plan, this is what I always go back to when I get to the other side of all of my frustration, all of my anger. I talk it all out. I process it all. But the core of my belief has never changed and will never change. This is God's plan. God is in control. God does not make mistakes. God knows what we need, even when we don't think we need it, or we don't see it, or we don't acknowledge it until later. But the timeline is his. At the end of the day, folks, can you really argue with that? The timeline is his. This is a war against evil that has been brewing since the beginning of time. And we get to see that climactic moment. But it's his timeline and his alone. And, you know, I happen to believe, at least based upon my own experience, it's okay to get angry with God. He can handle it. He knows that we're going to get angry. He knows that we're going to get frustrated. He knows we're going to even get enraged with righteous anger. And he hears all of our prayers, but he will never, ever forsake us. We also know that. And so at the end of the day, that's what I come back to. And I realize that I can analyze and I can speculate all day long, and I can believe wholeheartedly, because I'll tell you, folks, I mean, I give you my truthful analysis, whatever that is, whatever that happens to be on any given day. I speak the truth as I believe it. But that's only a moment in time. In the grand scheme of things, this is the Lord's grand plan. That yes, we are the plan, the white hats are the plan. There's different elements to it, of course. And yes, I understand for those people out there who want to criticize what I'm about to say, I understand that God doesn't need man to manifest anything, or non-terrestrials or anything else, but I do believe God uses man and uses all of us, uses the creations that he has, especially those that love him, to carry out his will. Doesn't mean that he needs us. But this is a process of ascension and enlightenment and global change and revolution and spiritual conquest of good versus evil that's too big for any of us really to even imagine. And so what we're going through right now, I happen to believe, is necessary as much as I may hate it, it's like medicine. You don't want to, you know, you try to give your kid medicine. They don't want to take it. I mean, heck, some of the medicines, they're probably right, but, you know, you understand the metaphor. Sometimes what's good for us is the bitterest pill to swallow. And who knows, folks, you know, who knows how long this is going to go on, and who knows what our perspective is going to be a month from now, 6 months from now, a year from now. Maybe things are going to happen. Maybe someday we'll go back and listen to this podcast and realize how little we knew despite how much we thought we knew at the time. And acknowledge how much more had to happen, how much more even we had to grow, perhaps, before we were ready. But God doesn't make mistakes. And even the most brilliant among us, the most wise amongst us, are fallible. And that's why I do believe that at least part of the reason that God is putting us all through this, so that at every milestone on this spiritual journey, because that's what this is really about, that we get closer to Him. He controls our hearts. He knows that we're going to go through anger and rage and disappointment and frustration and anxiety and fear and all those things. But He controls our hearts and knows at the end of the day, we gravitate, we resonate, we seek to get closer to Him. And that's what each of us have been doing. And we're getting closer to one another. I've never felt a stronger connection to all of you than I do now. And I didn't think that that was possible a short time ago. And it's an incredible blessing to be with you on this journey. I'm going to wrap this up, folks. I do have some things I have to do today. I promise you that I will be back soon. I have another interview scheduled for Monday with Jim Willey. But after that, I think I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit on the interviews. I'm still going to have guests on the show, don't worry, but I am going to try to work on balance a little bit more. And certainly I will be focusing on putting together more of my own content for all of you wonderful people out there. So thank you, everybody, for listening. I love each and every one of you. I hope that you take this message in the right spirit today. And I understand that I talked about a lot of things. I expressed a lot of different emotions, a lot of different thoughts and ideas and feelings. And hopefully, folks, this was a message that you could resonate with, a message of hope at the end of the day. So thank you for listening. God bless and Godspeed. I'll be back soon. Patriot out.